You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamiting the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Banam, yeah.
And me, Brian. This week's episode, it is Let's Go to the Manga Artist's House Part 2, Episode 15 of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, in which Koichi, for reasons unknown to him, has returned to the manga artist's house. And the manga artist is pleased to see him because he wants to rip more pages out of his face.
Yep, and pin him up over his desk with kind of a very ghoulish, like almost flayed skin hanging over there, I know, on clothesline. Just reading off little notes there and sketching them out. Mm. Very, very eerie, very horrific.
And Josuke and Okuyasu followed him, and they knock on the door, and Koichi's like, ah, my friends are here. If I can just reach them, they'll be able to help me. But every time he opens the door, he instantly forgets what the dread horror he's in is that's taking place inside the house.
Yeah, there's a really, really nice jump cut of him going like, my God, I just got to get out there, with his face all peeled back, and he's like, oh, hey, guys, how's it going? As soon as he opens the door, like... That's pretty great.
Yeah, that happens a couple of times, and then he realizes that, oh, it's because he's written that I will not attack Rohan Kishibe into his personality.
Yeah. That he somehow can't he's worded it perfectly so that I can't get others to attack him. I cannot put him in a situation in which he will be harmed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's a man, Garrett. He's probably signed a lot of contracts. So he would know.
He knows the wording.
Like, correct, some good, very good legal grounding in how to word things in the contract properly.
Yeah, apparently he's so fired up the muse of Rohan that Rohan's like chucking out page after page of manga ridiculously fast and in manners that normal manga artists would not be able to manage.
He did like 19-page manuscript in a single night.
Yeah.
Yes. He just has to finish these two pages. It shouldn't take him 20 minutes, but like he finishes like a panel in... I mean, like, I guess it takes a few minutes, but he doesn't put down any pencils beforehand.
Really, he like throws the ink at the page to fill in the blacks.
Fires it like bullets.
I think he describes it like shuriken, but and he stays inside the lines, and it's just like... That was pretty great. I imagine this is like just a dream of Araki's. Just like, man, I wish I could do that. That would make my life so much easier.
Well, we had to find out because Viz are releasing his How to Draw Comics book.
I was getting more vibe like the famous montage from Death Note where he's like signing the book and there were all these big flourishes and people are dropping dead around them. But you know, death and horror. Well, it's still getting kind of horror, I guess, but you know, it's towards something creative.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's handwriting is going to be impressive enough as to the finished product that this guy makes.
Yeah, and Rohan's not interested in these two at the moment, so he doesn't want to go and answer the door himself.
Yeah, he I think there's only like one stage in this entire episode where he gets up out of his chair, which is pretty great.
But the pair had figured something out, something was wrong, and Okuyasu climbs in through the window. And Rohan explains exactly how Okuyasu figured this all out, and by the looks on his face, this is all news to Okuyasu.
He's like, wait, he's cutting his hand? Oh.
Sure. Good old Okuyasu, I figured it out.
You hear the hand's power, and I was wondering, did he like turn his house into like a one-story house and then just walk in the window? I was kind of hoping for something mad like that to happen, but not quite.
Oh, up to the end pipe.
He probably just erased the space between him and the upper story window, sure.
But yeah, Heaven's Door unfortunately takes effect on Okuyasu and he becomes all unraveled.
Yeah, he's more like a... You know those lollipop sticks that you can kind of unravel into like long sheets of paper?
I know exactly what you mean, yes.
I was thinking more like some like rolled up like ribbon or tape or paper, then you don't roll it up properly and it'll fall to the floor. It's like, oh God, no. I'll coil it up and raise.
Or when you're a kid and you get those rolled up newspapers and you cut them a certain way and then you can like pull them all out and it's like a big paper tree.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so and then he writes inside him that if Josuke will attack him...
Or runs away, I think?
Yeah, he basically...
If Josuke does anything that will make trouble for Kishibe Rohan,
that's it,
then
yes.
I, Okuyasu, will kill myself by setting myself on fire. Self-immolation, in your words.
Yes. This is to draw out Josuke, who's hiding behind the door.
Yeah, and there's such a long thing of, like, do you know why he's hiding behind the door? It's like, yes, because we can't fucking get caught by you, kind of thing. I love the high stakes of a dude standing outside the door of a small room where a guy is just sitting down out loud, postulating as to what he can do to stop him.
Yeah, and he even tells him, if just one punch, and that'll undo all of Heaven's Door's effects.
Because he's a manga artist, he's not yes. tough.
Yeah.
And so he steps in with the best facial expression so far in the series.
Is there someone else doing this? Because a lot of the expressions in this are pretty great.
There is, yeah. There's another one later on, which I think is amazing. But yeah, I don't know who's doing... Maybe there is somebody who's particular who's getting in all the expressions this episode.
Oh, they're great.
But yeah, he's got his eyes closed and his lips pursed in a quite comical fashion. And he's like, oh, that's a good plan.
It's childish, but effective.
Yes. So he throws some, is it pins or nibs? I couldn't...
They're nibs.
I thought they were scalpel things, but I think they were nib ends of the pins, yeah.
Into his face, but now that doesn't do any good enough job. But then he remembers something from the notes that this kid, Josuke, doesn't like his hair being insulted.
Like, there's such a long time of Josuke running across what is a very short room. unless he's just running around trying to...
Well, I guess he's got a hand on fire at this point.
Yeah, he's like, I did like his reaction. It was like, I'd never light myself on fire. What are you talking about? And his other hand kind of comes in and starts lighting him on fire. He's just like, come on, hand. Don't do this to me.
And so he insults the hair and...
He insults the hair more than anyone has done so far.
Don't mess with the do. Yeah.
The eyes open, he shows them the manga panels, and he just punches straight through the page.
That's fucking amazing. You've now put him in blind rage, which is much worse.
Yeah, that was the real gaze into the fist of dread moment.
Oh, dear.
And he's just trashing the office.
He does, because he punches him way across the room, and that big triangular bookcase falls on top of him, and then he's lost him. He can't find him in the room, so he thinks
he's made such
him.
A mess that he's just kicking over chairs.
He's lifting the desk, the entire that massive bureau over his head. It's like, where are you?
Yeah, he's got the kind of Hulk rage going on.
And then Koichi surmises what he thinks is the cause of this anger.
I like this thing in the end where it's like, Josuke told me this, but I thought he was taking the piss, so I wasn't paying attention. you have the backstory of why Josuke has his haircut. Not how he got his haircut, obviously. That's just,
goes to the hairdressers.
Every now and again, to the hairdressers.
Why he admires it.
Yes.
Yeah. He says, I want the double fonds, please.
Very good, sir.
So when he was a kid, around the same time as Stardust Crusaders, he too was afflicted by the same disease that Holly was, except
he was
less...
given stand cars, put him in a coma kind of thing.
Less,
or not a coma, a fever.
Less rose thorns involved, though.
Yeah.
Well, we can't see. Maybe it is.
That's true, yes. And his mum was trying to take him to hospital, and they got stuck in snow, and then this mysterious stranger appeared with a gigantic quiff. And looks in this illustrations looks exactly like Josuke, which makes you think, is time travel involved at some point?
Yeah, I think that's got to be it, because the way it's like any of that stranger's dialogue is rendered in text form, because if he spoke out loud, we'd just fucking know. that seems to be the case.
Pushes him out of the snow, and that's where, as a 4-year-old, he decided, that's the haircut I want to be like that guy.
What a cool guy.
And Rohan's so moved by this story that he wants to sketch this out.
He crawls out of hiding to write down notes.
And then
before I fall unconscious from the terrible beating I received.
Yes. And what does Jessica say? I'm going to punch you some more or something.
I wasn't done punching you. Yeah, something along those lines. And he seems to break every window in the house.
Yes.
Dear.
Great episode.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a really good combination of the kind of weird kind of it's like he's under such threat, and it's kind of like, oh, this menacing kind of thing, but it plays everything for fucking laughs. It's pretty great.
Yeah. The director of this one was actually Yasufumi Soejima, who was, you would remember, from episode 6, where they introduced Tamami and the lock, and also from the ending animation.
Ah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think he may be the one to watch.
Mm.
A new opening as well.
That's true, yep. Yeah.
What did you think of the new one?
I thought the song was, I mean, it'll probably grow on me.
It didn't really catch me as much as the disco.
But
right,
I suspect the old one doesn't really fit in with what's coming, i.e. jars full of human hands, as we see in the opening.
Yes, murderers, things going ablaze and on fire and things.
Well, then they've changed it for, like, what is now our new cast, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And like, you get a little photo of them all together, all like this, then you just will inevitably, you know, band together and form some kind of alliance of good.
Actually, speaking of that, I did like the bit in this episode where they were debating what if Josuke runs away, he could totally go get help. And they mentioned I've forgotten her name again, the lady with the hair.
Yukako Yamagishi.
I did like Koichi's kind of thing. It was like, yeah, she could totally come and save us with her hair, but I don't want to see her. You know, he says in the most like excited, smiley way, and I thought that was great.
Mm. Actually, I don't really mention it like last week, but it's also in the animation, which is still the same song, but like they have more additions put in there. Like,
they're populating the town of of the people who live in the town.
Yeah, like a manga book flies in, and then Rohan's in the inside, and then when it gets to like the dark serves Joseph and Akira Otiishi in front of the lighthouse as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's right. We are like, you know, they're appearing where you meet them.
That's pretty fucking great, I gotta say. Mm. Like, he totally has a map of this town in his head, right? That he can.
He's got a map drawn out of the town. Like,
we've seen the maps of the town, but I didn't realize that would come into play so much. It's pretty great.
Mm. Yeah, I do hope we get a Kamikaze Doga opening though before the end.
Okay,
I do miss those 3D.
Mm.
And opening animations.
Yeah, they had little bits of it in the previous opener, right? And that first shot would all open the stage, and then you can see like the almost kind of paper cut out arms, you know, pointing up to the sky when they're all together on the stage. Like, not quite the same thing, but yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait to see what happens next.
Oh, it's going to go get fun next week because it's a Jotaro episode.
Hey, he hasn't actually gotten any yet. Now that I think about it, it's just he's a bit player so far.
He's mainly been sitting in the hotel room avoiding phone calls for a good part. Yeah.
He's been having the least bizarre adventure.
Yeah, well, he's a guy who can like stop time, so you got to like rein him in a little bit.
Mm.
Oh, is he still working on his PhD at this point? So maybe that's why he's been busy. He hasn't got his PhD yet. I think that's right. I think he's still working on it in this. Like
Dr. Joestar.
Marine biologist.
Dr. Studio, rather. Yeah.
Okay, let's go with Dragon Ball Super Episode 50. Goku versus Black. The path to the future gets closed. In which we get Goku versus Goku Black straight away.
Yeah, I keep hitting that at least in the subs, they keep referring to him as that black guy. Because that's going to make that very difficult to talk about with people over here.
Yeah, maybe I'm watching different subs than you. But I kind of don't
that must be it, yeah.
I think so. I don't come across that much.
No.
It's weird. I think they're playing into it or something.
Okay, yeah. Yes, they have a fight. And then he goes back out. Doesn't want to.
That's kind of it. Goku doesn't. Vegeta also complains about it. It's like, yeah, he likes to build it up. You know, he doesn't like to go full power straight away.
And that's obviously going to be a major plot point at some point down the line because they've built it up now for multiple arcs that Goku is refusing to.
Multiple arcs. This is like the entire Dragon Ball.
That is true. But comment on it.
Yeah. Repeatedly. They're making more commentary at this stage, like, oh, yeah. Their own fucking tropes. They know what they is.
Yeah.
it's he doesn't want to one punch man anyone, where it's like, dude, he's literally killed Bulma, this guy. Okay? Go fucking beat him up.
But I
don't
see...
hold back. what a joke.
So, yeah, he's apparently sort of hacked the time ring or something to get back in time, because you're only supposed to be able to go forward and then return to the present, I think they say.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a glimpse into your future kind of thing, rather than being able to go backwards.
Yeah. But
yeah.
The effects seem to be only like temporary, because no, as no, I didn't, in inopportune moments, so he feels like the pull of him between like yanked back to his own era, you know, and then that seems to be like weakening him as well in the middle of their fight.
But before he goes, he blows up Trunks' time machine.
What a giant dick! I did like the way they were playing him as well, because it kind of ties into the mystery, I guess. But he appears to be acting like Goku in that he gets really excited by like a challenger, like someone who can challenge him in a fight. Yeah. Except he's creepy about it.
And he also refers to Saiyans as being something other than he is. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's actually, he seems, for lack of a better term, genuinely excited to fight against Goku. It's like, wow, I never thought I got this chance, kind of thing, you know.
And then by the end, Bulma's found the old time machine.
Yeah, I forgot she had that. She forgot she had it.
Yeah.
Busted windshield, moss all over it. Didn't even
How did moss grow on it when it was in a pill?
The fire just preserves it perfectly.
Oh, dear.
I was looking at the Dragon Ball wiki about time. They got like a page about time machines. And there's the one in Jacko, but I don't think that necessarily works. They just use it to freeze time,
right,
during the comic. But then it mentions like these time machines in Dr. Slump, which we know is in the same universe. Those work better than the ones in Dragon Ball, in that they don't create alternative futures. They actually, you can go back in time and change things.
Okay.
So yeah, they should nip over to Penguin Village and borrow a time machine from there.
I mean, like, I guess if your main character is just going to be poking some poop with a stick, you're really not going to trust their...
And also, there's a good possibility that everybody's died in Penguin Village and she's the only one left at this point in
That's
time.
That's true. There is that.
Was there anything else happened? I think we see that
Beerus kind of slyly commenting on everything that's going on, not getting involved.
Oh, well... in the last shot of the future, we see, you know, Maya's lifeless body, and we see it goes, cuts down to the hand, and it goes, twitch, twitch. She's still alive!
Or is she?
Well, probably, you know, because you know, she wasn't, like, vaporized by Goku Black. So there was the possibility open that she's probably just knocked out, and Trunks seemingly can't check for a pulse somehow, so...
It's too powerful.
And we'll see how like the fight for the future is gonna proceed without him in the next episode.
I like the bit with Beerus going, you humans can't interfere with time anymore since your time machine's exploded. And it's like the only human there is Krillin, dude. dear.
They're all human to a god.
Yeah, but most of them aren't even from that planet.
Mortals, perhaps, maybe a better
word. Yeah, I guess that's the equivalent word. Hmm.
But then with Goku, you've no idea, because he's been dead how many times now?
At least twice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like we're getting the Trunks and Mai episode next week.
A quick thing, right? And it's the name of the show, and I know I constantly point it out, but your time machine's broken. Why don't you summon Shenron? Tell him to fix the time machine.
I bet he'll say something lame that's beyond his abilities.
I'm not asking you to make me a time machine. I'm asking you to fix that one.
Because I think they're fairly well established that Shenron's pretty useless at this point.
He's pretty useless.
Yeah.
They seem to progress beyond him, unfortunately.
And also, it'll just annoy Kai even more that they've summoned him again and not brought him back from the dead.
That's
Well, maybe we're going to summon Shenron, and it's like, Shenron, we needed to do this thing that you should be able to do because you wish for anything, but like, no. And Shenron goes, I can't do that. He looks over his shoulder, because he's a guy. He looks over his tail, I suppose. He sees, like, the king of all. Let's go, like, and just shakes the head. I'm sorry, that's beyond my power, guys. I'm sorry about that. I wish you to wish by.
Anything else to add? Oh, I'm sure there was other stuff, but I can't remember it.
the little guys, Pilaf, they're going to be fire brigade guys in order to get their room and board and food.
Yeah.
I guess that's a thing.
It seems like they've given up being evil entirely and are now just happy to work in order to get food and logic.
There seems to be a lot more profit in being a good guy, so we should just do this.
Yeah. I think they brought that in as well for the comedy relief, because there wasn't much in that episode that they didn't get much to do in terms of jokes and stuff. Yeah. Little Trunks seems to be still weirded out by older Trunks.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you?
I know. I don't blame the kid.
Was this the episode where he says, "I saw you as a baby"? Or was that last week? We've met before, but you were a baby then.
I think that was last week's one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that was.
It's all beginning to flow into each other. Was there a new ending theme? I think there was, wasn't there?
Yeah, it's the one that kind of like looks like just drawn things, and then the kind of color comes into it, and every now and again.
Yeah, I quite like that a lot, because it's got loads of the characters in.
I'm not as good on the song, but I like the visual of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much every character is in it, which is kind of great. Mm.
Yeah, it gives you a nice feeling of the series so far, and the amount of weirdos we've met.
Yep.
And who may show up again. And of course, they're still eating fish sausages all the way through this.
Available now on all burritos.
Sponsored by Fish Sausage.
Oh, yeah, they asked Whis why he can't use his time manipulation powers. Oh,
I forgot he had them, I'll be honest with you.
Very strict limits on them.
Yeah, I can only rewind it 3 minutes. Yeah, I think that's it. It was mainly the fighting and commenting on the fighting.
That's very Dragon Ball of it, all right, yeah.
Yep.
But the commentary's good, because now we're getting like sarcastic commentary.
Yeah, snarky comments.
Yes.
Like, fuck's sake, Goku, just get on with it.
Just go Super Saiyan Blue and just kick his ass. Forget any of that. Simple, just like fight over Future Saiyan. Why you gotta just be stringing us along like this?
Hey, Beerus, you're the god of destruction. You're right there. Destroy that guy.
Well, to be fair, at least the fight was half an episode. And like how long it struggles along at the start of the series of a fight.
Yeah.
So you are learning.
Okay. Shonen Ishibe Go Go Gomachan, episode 12. Everyone sleepy.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell is that doing? Oh, Windows 10.
Is it falling asleep?
No, it's telling me that I need to upgrade Office. Where were we? Shonen Ishibe, everybody sleepy. Yes, in this episode, everyone was sleepy.
Yeah, everyone's being cute as fuck.
Yeah, this is the point now where it's introduced everybody. It can play around with an idea and have everybody play with that idea.
Yeah, and just keep hopping back and forth between people. Yes.
And this probably had the bit of violence which made me cringe the most of anything I watched this week.
Oh, the rock to your man's head?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
So Ishibe gets into school tired, and then the teacher, the very go-go Mr. PE Kendo. Teacher, yeah, says, "Let's all lie down." He says, "I'm sleepy too. Let's all lay down." He does not look sleepy in the slightest.
And he's excited to lie down in the grass.
Yeah, his arms crossed and then just falls backwards and his head hits a rock. And it made me cringe the most, more than any fight in anything we've watched this year.
We've all had like that nightmare, I suppose, when you were a kid, when you go to lay down on the grass and say, "Come on, lay down, the grass is fine." Okay, I will, and then you do, and there's actually a hidden thistle or nettle or a rock in there. And like I can say, like, "Oh no, I'll never do it again."
And then
like the other
time.
Violence, it's too real, is it?
I'm gonna stay inside forever and watch cartoons. And here we are today.
Ishibe asks him, "Why do people yawn?" And he ponders and ponders and ponders. And falls
it basically puts him into a coma of thinking.
Falls out the window and hits the same rock again.
On the same spot in his head, making even a bump on a bump.
And then they let him go to sleep, which is the wrong thing you should do with people who hit their heads.
Yeah, that's not good.
Really? I heard you're supposed to do that. let them kind of sleep or about that in a relaxed and safe setting.
Yeah, I think it's the idea that if they're suffering from brain damage, they need help right now.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Which I think that guy is anyway, so...
Probably can't tell the difference. But he does seem to have had more trauma by the very end of the episode, because...
How is he a maths teacher at the end of the episode? Or does he just think he is?
Don't he think there's people in the class?
That's the other thing, of course. Yeah, yeah.
What else happens? Oh, the granddad falls asleep and his secretary thinks that he's died.
She calls the press?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Gobachan spends a long time trying to find somewhere to sleep.
He keeps getting hassled by various things.
For being cute. Well, first of all, Shibe wakes him up when he's dreaming. And then he goes to sleep under a tree and all the neighbours come and stroke him. And argue about what sort of animal he is.
What particular breed of seal?
Yes. Then he goes and sits by a telegraph pole, and the two brothers come and worry about him, so they tie him to the pole. So
with an adorable pink ball.
Yes. And he escapes from that, goes into some bushes, and then a kitten comes and sits on top of him, and he seems happy until the kitten, of course, decides to make itself comfortable with its claws. As cats like to do. Who else is sleepy in this?
Dad and Ashiba are pretty sleepy. Oh. And then later on, the mother's sleepy.
Oh, and the Chinese restaurant owner is sleepy.
Yes. Oh, that's right. He's cute as fuck.
He's adorable.
Yes, and we confirmed that they're not sisters. I was wrong.
Yeah, they just refer to him as like...
Yeah, so I think it's just the daughter. There is the daughter who's is his daughter, and then the other one's just an employee.
Okay.
And it's the one who's the employee is annoyed that he looks cuter sleeping than she does.
Just all curled up in a blanket like that. With his little ears and his nose.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yep. And of course we got to see what's going on with Tsukaoka. And Tsukaoka was having a lovely dream of, you know, of a Shibi. And saying, Tsukaoka-kun, you're finally coming back home in Japan. Come on, let's play. And he's running towards him. And then like suddenly... Wake up, Sukon! Don't fall asleep for love of God, we're lost in the forest. Fall asleep, you're dying. You can't kill anybody animals. Yeah. Stay awake, son.
He wakes up to the nightmare that is his life.
His dad, don't fall asleep, tigers will eat you, I believe is what he says.
I think that's right, yeah. Oh, man.
And apparently they've managed to get lost again. This.
Oh, dear.
We never even see what his dad does as a job that's required for him to go over to, apparently, the Himalayas.
CPA.
Okay, but it may have been usurped by another show involving a cute animal. And that is Banania, Episode 1, The Kitty Who Lives in a Banana.
All that happens in this episode is how you described the show to me.
It's a very important documentary about the fact that cats live in bananas.
Or bananas are cats. It's difficult to tell.
It is hard to tell.
It's a banana. That's what's now put forth to us. The cat lives inside the banana. So
yes.
It's sort of like a hermit crab, you know, like obviously a shellfish lived in the shell, poor animal, then, you know, it died or was eaten, and then the hermit crab moves in. So, cats are like hermit crabs. Yeah, you've seen a cat get into a box before. It's similar.
I've never seen one get in a banana.
Well, now you have, haven't you?
And this cat wants to grow up to be a chocolate covered banana.
It's trendy.
Classy one, yeah. I did like the way the documentary guy trying to do the voiceover kept getting interrupted by the cat.
Yes.
That's kind of the main running joke of the whole thing.
He keeps on trying to say its name, and every time it interrupts with the nya.
Well, it's finishing the sentence.
Yeah.
They're on the same wavelength.
I like that the narrator is underground comic artist Yoshikazu Ibisu.
Oh.
From Garrow, who apparently turned actor at some point.
Oh, really?
Director and essayist. Yeah. So, it's like... I think this is the first anime he's done, though.
Okay.
You're a Renaissance man.
Yes, yeah. If you look at his comics up on Google Images, there's planes crashing, people with heads on fire, people with heads falling off, men's butts being ripped off by dogs.
A little different. This is a lot calmer than any of the...
Yeah, I don't believe he's responsible for the artwork in Finlandia. But it is an interesting choice for narrator. He's great as the narrator. I really like the narration. I know everyone's raving about the guy who's doing the cat voice. I don't know why.
Mm. I did like him kind of cooing and, you know, being going over the cell. Oh, what's in this? What's in the banana? Oh, it's a cute little cat. Oh, the cat's so cute. Oh, so nice.
But yeah, I think people are just excited that... Is it Yuki Kaji? I don't know what he's known for. Is the voice of the main.
Yuki Kaji is our main man, Koichi. From JoJo.
There you go.
Okay. That's a very different tone.
Yes. Apparently he was confused why they wanted a man in his 30s to voice a cartoon cat, but...
Well, it's good enough for Garfield, so...
Exactly. But Garfield hasn't got quite such a high voice as this cat has.
Well, that was dictated by the character, you know. If you got the guy in to do Banania, you know, he could have had a whole other range.
Well, he's doing a lot of other cats as well. There's two people doing all the cat voices.
Oh, for all other cats we see in the credits there with the cat. I guess there's different colored cats. Were they in different fruits as well?
I think they're all in bananas.
Yeah, I think I only seen banana cats.
I think there's also like a pink sugar mouse by the looks of things too.
Hmm.
But I don't think that's... Oh, Nozumi, I believe. That would be the name of the mouse, wouldn't it?
That would be, yeah.
Yes, but you've got Tora Banania, Baby Banania, Banania Co, Kanaga Banania, Kuro Banania, Mike Banania. Unfortunately, that's not Mike Banania. Yeah, it's Mike. I guess tortoiseshell.
Mike Banania, he'd be the half American, half Japanese one.
Yes. Oyaji Banania, Sabatora Banania, and Tabanyanya. So there's a lot of cats in bananas to look forward to.
Banania Prime, Banania 2099.
But yeah, I think this was the first thing I'd watched after Berserk of this new season, and I was like, this is so much better than Berserk.
Yeah.
Only Berserk looked this good.
And similarly animated with computers.
Yes. And was That's cats funny. In bananas. But yeah, because the aesthetic is just total and complete in this thing. It doesn't really falter from what its aesthetic is through the entire 3 minutes. That's why I was just so amazed by it. Yeah, love it. Currently my favourite thing of the season.
It's tasty.
What about you, Dwayne? Where does this rank on your Shonen Ashibe Lovely Muko animal anime scale?
I don't like it as much as Shonen Ashibe, because basically all that we've discovered is cats are bananas, or bananas are cats. They're called bananas. And this one wants to be a chocolate banana. Like, that's all the episode covered, but it's like, yeah, okay, I get you. It is considerably less harsh on the eyeballs than Berserk or anything like that.
And you get a picture of a real cat in the end of credits.
Like, is that like people sending in a picture of their cat?
I presume that will be happening, yes.
That's pretty good.
You'd be on the show if you're just like sending a picture of a cat to the official Twitter account.
I think Cheese Sweet Home did that as well.
Did it?
I think so.
Hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen something do that.
Okay.
It'll probably turn out to be a Sentai show or something. You could send pictures. I know Kyo Ryugi, you could send in videos of yourselves doing the dance, and that would get put on. Okay, let's see what else we watched. The Disastrous Life of Disastrous Life of Psyche K. I watched all five parts, but I think you guys just watched the first four.
Four that were...
Yeah.
It seemed to be available.
It airs daily on weekdays, and then I believe on a Sunday there'll be a compilation episode of the previous week's parts.
Right.
Okay, so it'll be like a half hour or whatever, just with them back to back, is it?
Yes, I believe so. That's what I understand. So it's like how Azumanga Daioh aired at first.
Okay.
And so this week we had The Disastrous Life of a Psychic, Part 1 and 2. the worst of the worst, Riki Nendo, Shun Kaido, a.k.a. the Jet Black Wings, and the one you've not seen yet is the intelligent and beautiful Kokomi Teruhashi. And so this is a series about a kid, the titular Psyche K.
Are we just supposed to say it's psychic? Because if you just add his K onto the end of his thing, and everyone seems to call him that as a nickname, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, I think it just sounds like that when they're saying his full name.
In the Psychic film. K.
Yeah. Who has all the psychic powers, apparently. They add more each episode this week. But he's the straight man. He's got the crazy powers, but everybody around him are the crazy ones. That's probably the gist of it. So the first two parts are basically how his parents react around him and how what he was like growing up and why he avoids showing off his powers nowadays. Because he got too much attention as a child because he kept on beating everybody at rock, paper, scissors.
He had like news stories ran on him.
Yes. And greatly distressed that teacher as well. He was...
She couldn't beat him. She just quit
in the end. Yes. And apparently his parents were very much in love when he was a baby, but now he's a teenager. They're always at each other's throats, but he can tell they actually still love each other because he can read their minds and then forces them to read each other's minds. And then they eat his pudding.
Yes. Like his life is misery. Like, you know, you can bend spoons, you know, with his mind, you know, I haven't even touching them. But that just makes like eating like rice and curry that's even harder because he's bending. It's like, life is pain.
Yeah, he doesn't want any attention. He has bright pink hair and antennae sticking out the top of his head.
Yeah, the antennae aren't explained at all.
No, I've watched the fifth episode. It's still not explained by the fifth episode.
Okay.
Then we meet the worst of the worst, Riki Nendo, who's the one person who he can't read the mind of because he is so stupid. Okuyasu, your reign has been usurped.
I don't know, dude. Okuyasu's pretty dumb.
Okuyasu obviously has enough of a psychic imprint that he can generate a stand, so yeah, he probably has something going on up there.
Okay.
Yes. So he can't make a decision, whereas this guy can make decisions. They're just the wrong decisions. But apparently he is Psyche K's best friend, despite all this. Whether Psyche K likes it or not.
Also, he looks to be like a man in his 30s or something.
That is the other great thing about it, yes. He looks like he's been kept down many, many years.
Like, there's a scar over his eyes. How do we get that?
Then we meet Shun Kaido, who's got eighth grader syndrome, so he thinks he's got superpowers, and that he's fighting this mysterious organization.
He would be the protagonist in a more straightforward comic of this nature.
Yes, he'd be a protagonist in a light novel. And by the end of the episode, he actually does think he's got superpowers because Psyche's used one of his superpowers.
He has to electrocute a snake from a distance. From the bathroom, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is another power we didn't know he had that was electrokinesis or something. Which convinces him that he's got superpowers. And then the episode you've not seen basically deals with him having to deal with the most beautiful girl at school. Who's also kind and nice.
I assume this is a hassle based off...
It is a hassle. It's because she's so pretty, he doesn't want to be seen with her because it'll draw too much attention to him. But then his plan backfires, of course. Yeah, I like this show a lot. It's...
Okay.
Yeah. It's sort of like... I'm not sure where a comparison to be made there, but it sounds like it'll... It's sort of like almost seems like a response to having to heard I'm stuck on more of them last season where we got a guy trying to avoid attention and doing things in a certain way.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think it is supposed to be like the reverse of a normal Shonen Jump type cat story with
where a guy's the most important person in the world, whereas this guy
would be
the most powerful man on earth, but he doesn't want to be. It'd be closer to like One Punch Man and that kind of theme.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it all seems to be the way life went, saying, oh, I was just an average guy, high school student, until I had this thing thrust upon me. Well, actually, no, because here's the guy who's had this since birth. You know, I've had this almighty power since birth. I just want to be the normal guy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even sure he wants to be a normal guy. He just doesn't want any attention.
His intention, but, you know. But he sees his own powers, you know, as, you know, like, I wish it didn't happen sometimes because he can hear the thoughts of others, yes. You know, and as mentioned before, he can't use his spoon properly because he's bending it.
But we're also making it sound a lot more serious than it is. Because it is just goof around times for the entire four episodes so far. I think this is my favourite of... I think I like this more than Chromity just because of the pacing, the 4-minute episodes.
Personally, I think I like it considerably less.
Is that right? You're not a fan, Dwayne?
Oh, God. It was just, there was so, everyone was, like, at some stages there were, like, three people talking, and he was also talking psychically over them.
Yeah, we should say, the Funimation subtitles are awful.
Yeah.
God, they were a fucking nightmare, man.
They need they need multiple colours.
Yeah.
Frost talk, like, everywhere. Also, Dwayne, did you watch Mosaic that the four of them in a straight in a row?
Yeah, I think that was a mistake.
I'm thinking that would be an Israel, because it's just going to exhaust you otherwise.
Yeah, I think I probably should have watched them the one at a time. That's just me, though.
I did it today out of necessity, because I actually didn't have time to get to them for the remainder of the week. I will now don't space them out over the week to counteract that.
Yeah, see, I'll watch them daily.
Yeah, I think that's probably the better way to watch them in this case. Also, I might have been just in a bad mood. I don't know.
Well, then you'd empathize with Psyche, can't
you? You think, yeah.
Surrounded by idiots.
Now, apart from the subtitles, but even then, I could cope with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've seen Tatami Galaxy. I can handle too much talking and too many subtitles.
Yeah. This was enough to make me cancel the pay subscription to Funimation now, because it couldn't even play this without juddering to a halt every 10 seconds.
Yeah, I it's been variable for me. I'd say 3 out of the 5 days I've been fine. Mm. But 2 of the days, yeah, I just downloaded it off a torrent site.
that's like five minutes.
It's not even 5 minutes for most of them. You can't even handle all that.
Yeah, it's like they have good shows, but the player is so fucking bad.
it's garbage, as the French would say.
I do wonder whether it's cookies. I wonder if I'd opened it in an incognito tab and re-logged it again, it might have just played fine.
Right. Yeah, perhaps.
It could just be a caching cookies problem, which is still a problem, but...
Hmm.
Hmm.
I do wonder whether there's an easier way around than just going 10 seconds back. Wait a bit. 10 seconds forward again. Okay, I'm fine. For 10 more seconds, and then it stalls again.
Yeah. I think I could be fine kind of watching a thing off it if it was possible, but I'm certainly not going to like put money down on this until we can kind of stabilize itself.
It's pretty
unworkable right now as it stands. Mm. And maybe it sounds like I'm being too hard on them, but as I've mentioned to people before, they're hardly new to this game. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah,
I think they was, you know, able to work this out in a fairly straightforward manner. But no, don't know.
Yeah,
it was probably obviously it's not as simple as I'm making out. You know, I realize by a lot of hard work in it, but you know, at the same time, you know, I think enough people have been onto them by this stage. Because I look into it a bit, and I know that a lot of people out there who are, you know, pretty dissatisfied as I am with the way it works right now, so I think might make some effort towards trying to, you know, even just a little bit, try to treat them, at least make the buttons functional, at least like maybe change the the quiet settings so he doesn't keep like jumping around qualities while I'm still buffing up, because it goes to auto one day. It's just hopping around from like 720 down to 480, up and down, and then you get black frames in between them while I was doing that. It's disorienting to watch.
Right, yeah.
And that's when it does work, so.
Yeah, and it also needs, as I say, this episode definitely they need to be able to put more styles on subtitles, like Crunchyroll's subtitles can have.
Mm. Yeah.
Except, of course, occasionally someone who's doing the subtitles on Crunchyroll forgets to close a tag on the XML, I assume, which is, and then the entire, I think, was it Luluco, I think, one episode of Luluco for like half an hour or so, it was entirely subtitled in, like, the title font. It was like out completely
unreadable. I thought they were just taking the piss.
No, because when I watched it, that episode, it was back to normal. So obviously So I assume it must be done through XML or something, and there was just a tag someone forgot to close, and the entire style.
Yeah, more than likely XML. That's how we run all the crawls for the TV channel network.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, it's possible to have multiple styles on these subtitles, but again, I don't know whether they're hard coded on Funimation site
on their player. Yeah,
because obviously in Crunchyroll, if you do like a right click, you can change languages or turn subtitles off entirely. So. What we're saying is Crunchyroll's better than the Funimation. In case you saw, somehow you were living under a rock.
In terms of like, you know, win and loss ratios, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but if you can handle cross talking and you can get Funimation Now Player to work, I would say if you like things like Sexy Commando or DigiCarrot or Cromartie, then give this show a try because it's probably up your alley.
Yeah, but don't need it all in one go. There's no. Little nibbles here and there.
Unless you're a maniac. I will probably watch it all again on Sunday in one go. Partly because I want to see how they handle the transitions between them. Because there is the other negative, maybe, is that the episodes in these chunks just end.
Yeah, it's just all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, did that crash? It's like, oh, no, that's it.
No, that's it. So I assume there'll be some sort of interstitial to move them along. Cause none, apart from the first two this week. They don't carry on from each other.
Yeah.
But it's like even the last one just ends. And I was like, oh, okay, so how's that going to work on a full episode?
Yeah.
But I enjoy it a lot. It tickles. It's right on my alley in terms of senses of humour and crude animation, but not unwatchably crude. Okay. Talking of unwatchably crude things, show by Rock Short. This is a lot better animated, but it is just fan service.
Yep.
For people who like Show by Rock.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that's the case.
Yeah, I assume this is possibly stuff you don't get in the show. I assume it's like, here's the stuff we've left out the show, so it doesn't seem super creepy, and we just put it in this. So it involves the egg from Show by Rock. Dressed up as the woman who was parodied in that Secco Boys episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that he's pretending to be that same woman. That
chat show
a bunch of things have parodied now, I think.
Yeah, she's well known in Japan.
Mm.
And she's just, well, I say she, but it's, I believe the character's a man, if I remember
correctly. Well, he has a mustache.
Yes,
so.
And he's an egg.
Okay.
And he's interviewing the girls, and then we look at their tails. That's kind of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
There's
the
very
deal.
Few jokes.
I think the one animals. I don't even know what's going on in this. One with the long tail is like taking pictures of the one who's a cat.
Yes,
because she thinks it's cute when she meows or something.
Sort of
and then they don't get to talk about their music, and they're really kind of annoyed by that. They just get to look at their butts, their tails. I mean, but you know, still.
Yeah, wasn't very good. Won't be watching.
Like, is the show any good? The main show, the short.
The show has a plot and it has more characters than just those people.
Okay.
It's but I've only watched the first two episodes, so who knows? It may go downhill from there. But it's Sanrio. It's the Hello Kitty people responsible for it.
Hmm.
But it was their attempt at. I think it's Sanrio. I might be throwing them under the bus there. But I believe it's their attempt to make something specifically directed at otaku.
Okay.
Yeah. In conjunction with its first Sanrio's first ever character project aimed for older males and young adults.
Really, it's aimed at men. I could never tell.
as opposed to the main female and child demographic.
Mm.
As penance, they've done aggressive Retsuko, so to bring the balance back around.
This doesn't really endear me to the show anyway. It's kind of like, it's short, but it's like it's going on for too long and it doesn't fucking do anything.
Yeah, it's a rhythm game is what it's based on, the actual show. Which okay. you would not get anything of that from this short spin-off. This feels like a DVD extra.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like something to encourage you to buy the DVD. It's like, yeah, we don't creep on the girls in the show, but hey, we put a DVD extra on where we're going to creep on them.
Yeah, it does seem like an extra, all right?
That's why they sell the DVD, won't it?
Yeah, potentially.
But they're doing an entire series of it.
So this is a weekly one now, is it?
No, we're not. Love Life Sunshine. Let's save this by actually talking about an idol show, which is good. I enjoyed this first episode. Did you guys enjoy this first episode?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's not really my thing, but I was in my head, I was just constantly comparing it to Berserk. It's like, would you rather be watching Berserk? And I was like, no, I would rather watch this.
That was the same situation, yes.
Yeah, I think that improved it exponentially for me. So
it's also better than I've only seen two episodes of Love Live, this and the very first episode of Love Live, and this is much better than the very first episode of Love Live.
Okay. Is it that they got a better budget as they went along, or... And now by this new series, they have just...
I think there was less ropey CGI in this.
Yeah, they haven't done... Actually, wait, they did one, like, dance number.
Yeah, because it was the previous band.
Right.
They were watching them on video.
No, there's, like, there's a musical bit at the end of this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I skipped... I just skipped the song bits. All of them.
It's actually a good joke, though. I did like it in this episode. Where it's like, now we're totally going to be a band. And she's like, no. I thought it was that actually got me laughing.
No, the thing about Idol Anime is that I could probably watch it except for all of the anything to do with actually doing anything in the band, i.e. singing and dancing around.
That's fair.
That would just... What a curmudgeon.
Well, it's just not.
Do you skip all the song bits in Concrete Revolution as well?
Well, you have to skip the action scenes if you did that. Oh, dear.
It's just, I can't get worked up about them, we're from the band, we're going to dance around, and then blah, 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 love, love, happy sunshine thing. And someone's like, no.
Skip all the music bits in Tonkatsu DJ.
They're different strokes, man. I'm sorry, it's just too treacly and sweet for me, so...
How do you know? Did you skip all the songs?
I saw the first 15 seconds of them, so that gives me a fair idea. But this is the one thing where you can't judge by the cover, okay?
I mean, to be fair, the animation's better when they're not doing songs anyway, so... I say better, they've obviously put so much effort into their fucking, the little choreographed numbers, but...
Yeah, it's a bit robotic.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I imagine it's probably like mocapped or something, right?
I don't know, but I think there's definitely a reason for it being CG in that way. Is it makes it easier for people to copy the dance and learn the dance themselves.
Yeah, that seems to be the thing.
Film themselves doing the dance, which you wouldn't be able to do it with traditional hand animation, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because you're fudging more stuff doing that way. You're creating an illusion of people dancing. Whereas doing it in CG, while it might look a little unnatural,
you're using an actual wireframe skeleton.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
sure.
movements you can replicate as a human being if you want to do the dancing, which I think is part of the appeal of these shows. Even more those kids' dancing shows they've done now 2 years worth of, whose names escape me because they have. It's not like they've continued to see it. It's not like a franchise where they've just added another word on each time. They've actually done two entirely different ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Which apparently go really off the rails. We'll be doing one for our Christmas episode of Dynamite in the Brain, so you'll get to see one.
Hooray!
Where Santa shows up and forces everyone to do a dance. But yeah, it's really nice animation. I probably won't watch any more of it. But after Berserk, I was just looking for something good to watch.
Yeah, that's fair. It's just kind of like a mouthwash, all right?
Yeah, and this is so much better than Berserk. I mean, I'm saying Berserk is really bad, but this, compared to Psyche K and Show by Rock, it looks much better than both of those as well. It looks better than Dragon Ball Super, let's face it.
Well,
a lot of things do. even lovely Muko and some is up there in Dragon Ball Super.
They should have got the lovely Muko guy to do the Berserk. Because that is kind of the CG stuff he was doing before he did lovely Muko. And it can't be worse than what they currently got. But yeah, obviously people who love live, who love live, are already watching anyway, so they don't need us to recommend it.
Have fun.
But I would say, if you want to hop on, you might as well hop on this one, because I think this is better than the first episode of the original series.
Yeah, it seems to be like it's done a decent jumping on point where we have the main character who's gotten into the previous series, I guess.
Yes. The previous, what they call it, school idol competition.
Yeah.
And of course, I keep on hearing school idol, and then everyone else had previously heard that when they were watching Love Life before, so nowhere near. I'm probably the 1 millionth to make that joke. but then I think they introduced all wackier characters earlier.
Yeah.
In this one.
Right, they're not kind of waiting out for you. The main one being the one who thinks she's an alien or something?
Yes,
or
the one who's basically the equivalent of Shun Kaido from Psyche K.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Yeah, I could say that.
I do in Castle Prison is like, you know, trying to lay off. God damn it, you know, we want to form this club. We got to follow regulations, God damn it. And slamming her hand down and this one going, oh, my hand.
Yes.
And that your one snigger is like, there's lots of like little human kind of moments like that, yeah.
And also you know that the one who's trying to stop them from joining the group is going to end up starting the group, join the group by the end. So.
In the credits. Opening sequence, she's doing the dance and shit. So, yeah.
No, but it was getting like little bits of like, you know, these are the rules of the school idol tournament. You know, this is the way it's gonna go, man. these are how we do it in the streets. And like all of that kind of thing. Oh man, I could get kind of excited about that, but then I know, is this gonna be, no matter how tough they're talking, is this gonna be idol dance and singing things, and I don't really enjoy that. So like I said, everything surrounding it but it, I can enjoy.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Maybe an edited for me version where, you know, where it's compiled at the end of the week with all the songs cut out, and then I could enjoy it.
Oh, dear.
Anything else to add? Anything else we missed?
The Grey Man?
I tried watching that, and I bailed because I was like, I do not understand what's going on.
I watched it, and I don't understand what's going on.
I didn't watch it, but I will try and see. Like I said, maybe I'd read enough of the comic to know what was basically what's going on. But also it was a long time ago since I read it, so I probably lost it anyway. But I'll try it and report back next week.
Like I can give you the rough breakdown of what I think what the plot was, but I still there's a lot of gaps there of organizations that I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I figured how hard could it be? This is like, you know, pretty box standard shonen.
There's so many characters.
There's a load of characters, and they keep referencing things that I don't know what they is.
I'm pretty sure there's like twice as many people as there are on the Straw Hats.
Okay, right. There's the guy with the demon hand, and the ninja guy who gives out to him.
Yeah.
There's the vampire.
Uh-huh.
There's the guy with the eye patch. There's the lady that tries to act like an older lady and gives him sweets. There's the guy who plays chess. I've forgotten like three or four of them.
Thinking of that guy, yeah.
there's a few. I don't even know. It's like, oh, he has to play chess with a ghost in order to stop these demons, and I'm like, why? What? I think that's what was happening, unless that was a completely unrelated game of chess with a ghost.
He seemed like very lackadaisical if it wasn't part of the combat they were doing.
Yeah,
it's like, you hold that shield up while I just play chess.
Let's play chess with this ghost hand. Yeah, and the main guy is like, I think, I'm going to guess, like, he's like brainwashed. He's the brainwashed villain No, he's a guy who the villain implanted his memories in the last thing, or a villain from the last one. I don't really know. But then there's a guy who works for the church who looks like Hitler, who says, hey, what, isn't he on our side, kind of? And he's like, well, he's still a dick, fuck him. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening, dude.
Is that a sequel to Kirsty McColl's there's a guy who works down the chip shops, where's his Elvis? A guy in the church who looks like Hitler.
No, there's like a blonde Hitler in it. I don't know what to say. He's got like the mustache and the nearly the haircut, but like an anime version of that.
Oh, I remember that guy actually from the comic.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with him. And there's like all kinds of people where it's like, I suppose I should know who this guy is with like half a face, but I don't.
Well, he's got a face you remember.
Half a face I remember, sure. yeah, it's. I thought this might be a jumping on point, but I don't think it is.
I think that they thought so too, but maybe not.
Maybe I'm supposed to be excited by like, what's all this shit they're referencing? But I'm just like, what? Who?
It looked nice though.
It did look very good. Yeah.
I could not tell what was going on, but whatever was happening did look nice.
Smile yeah. and nod. Smile and nod.
I tried watching Sacred Riders X. Scared Riders X.
Why did it spell that way? Surely the men's sacred, but how did they get to get to the stage now and it's still a misspelled?
Or scarred. It might be scarred because there's like an umlaut over the R, so maybe you're supposed to drag that R out in a way that no language on earth, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think umlauts go on ours.
It looks like scared. So I'm going to say scared.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, which just should be called Harem Rider.
Man, that's a better title.
It is. Yeah. So it's basically a harem of Kamen Riders. But there's like almost a 2 minutes opening of a guy moodily playing guitar. And it's so Kikeda. But then the characters don't look like Ishinomori characters. So I was like, I've already written a better show in my head, so let's stop watching this one.
So put you up straight away. I was going to say, was it worth watching? But okay.
No, I didn't get very far into it.
Okay.
The idea is good. I wasn't keen on the character designs, but then again, the character designs aren't aimed at me, so. I am not the audience for this show or the video game that it's based on. I think that was it. I think that's all we managed to get.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a thing, but you guys didn't.
Well, if we get the second episode, we can do them both next week.
Yeah. It could be like erased, but nice.
Hey, we've got 91 days, though. That's going to be like us by the erased script writer, so. And that's just started as we were recording.
Yeah.
And we've got Mob Psycho coming up.
Man, I really hope that doesn't disappoint.
Naria Girls has been licensed by Crunchyroll, but they haven't actually put it up yet.
Mm.
Yeah, Mob Psycho better be good. Otherwise, we're going to be watching JoJo's and a seal.
Hey, and Dragon Ball.
And Dragon Ball.
Well, I was going to say, well, we'll always have, you know, the Seki K if we want to get something about psychic boys. But I think still, JoJo was already about that.
Yeah. Psychics are in, man.
Like, they're back. They never left. I will add in, this, you know, maybe a little bit kind of late in, but, you know, because I appreciate things from last season, but, you know, I finished it in time for this. From the last season, Ushio and Tora, if they finish all off, I think that show was good. Watch that. It's fantastic.
No, if we're doing that, I watched a shit ton loads of Yokai Watch this week. And it gets more bonkers as it goes along. And then I take it back. I think I said there's one serious episode. I'm now about episode 40. There's 1.5 serious episodes. It threw a curveball. It tricked me into making me cry about a frog with a bad neck.
Oh, dear.
But the animation gets more unhinged after it changes directors, which is good.
Okay.
There's some pretty wild episodes later on. And it keeps on... Obviously, it keeps on changing format. As Dwayne knows from watching me forcing him to watch 13 episodes. Even with those first 13 episodes, they keep on changing the formats, but
yeah,
they carry on doing the stories with Koma-san, So,
is it the same kind of thing? Or oh no, wait, well, he becomes a businessman for a while.
Yeah, he becomes a businessman. Yeah. Then there's a one where he falls in love with a human, and then he's currently a detective. Him and Whis are both Whisper. Sorry, don't get confused with the other Whis.
Yeah, that's easy.
They're both working as detectives, and there's a two-part episode where they are bodyguards for Obama as he's visiting Japan.
Okie dokie.
As you do. And someone tries to blow them up with a bomb hidden in an ice cream, which, of course, Koma-san then eats the ice cream. And he's going to throw the cone away, which is where the bomb is. And Whis is like, no, you don't throw the cones. Those are just as good as the ice cream. And then he eats the bomb. And he explodes.
Some last episode of 24 in there.
Yeah.
got some page got mixed up there. Two interns in the hallway. One beat for each other, mix the scripts up.
And then they keep on doing it. They introduce this yokai who's like the ghost of a film director. And he keeps on summoning Keita and Whis and Jib and Yan to make various yokai versions of Hollywood movies.
Is it a specific director or just generic kind of?
It's just a generic director. I assume he's in Yokai Watch 2, because I'm now into the bit where they're introducing all the Yokai Watch 2 yokai.
Right.
So the first one, well, it's a Chinese movie. First of all, they do Journey to the West with yokai.
Okay.
And then they did Titanic with yokai. And of course, Kate is thinking, oh, it's going to be Fumi as the Kate Winslet role. So he's imagining her walking in, dressed in Kate Winslet's costume, and then it turns out to be Jib and Yan's playing the woman. And then it turns into Pirates of the Caribbean halfway through as the director gets bored.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so watch Yokai Watch. I don't know when they're dubbing that second season, but hopefully soon. Because the dub's good as well.
Maybe they won't. They're making up money.
Yeah, it was still some money. it wasn't as much money as they'd like, but I'm still pretty sure they'll carry on there.
Oh well, you know how they are.
Yes, I know. I know how they are. They released a ridiculous amount of Inazuma 11 games in the UK, so I'm pretty sure they'll carry on releasing Yokai Watch.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, that wraps up this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcast at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Bye. Banan, bye.